You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
All right, everybody, welcome to 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We're joined today by Justin Powell of Just Integrate Garage. And Justin, go ahead, take it away.
Hi. Eric had mentioned, my name is Justin Powell. I run a garage in Neenah, Wisconsin, that goes by the name of Just Integrate Garage. I'm an automotive technician. I've been an automotive technician since 2006. I've got many years of experience working on everything from circle track race cars, limited late model, the family grocery getter, off-road trucks. I do specialize in Hondas. I'll give you honest advice. If I can fix it, I'll give you a fair price. If I can't fix it, we'll find somebody who can. Usually I refer people to small businesses in my neighborhood that I'm familiar with, that I've worked with in the past. All I ask is that you stop by and give me a call or to chat. If a strange light appears on your dash or a strange noise is coming from the engine, let me see it first before the dealer charges you for something you really don't need. That's basically my 60-second elevator speech, but I'd gladly get into more detail on. My experience is 15 years in a small shop called Randy's Auto Service, and that was on the corner of Commercial and Cecil Street in Neenah. Prior to that, it was Fox Valley Technical College. We did build a Beat the Heat car that ran on E85 and went, and I think it set a record at the time on the Bonneville Salt Flats. While I was working at Randy's Auto Service, I did participate in limited late model. I was on a pit crew for a guy named Joe Ebbin, whose father was Cliff Ebbin. Cliff Ebbin's known in that realm as a great machinist, not only, but also mechanic. He had his son, Joe Ebbin, racing a Acura RSX Type S. That was in a showroom stock in SCCA. I worked with Joe primarily because I kind of had a passion for the Hondas and Acuras. In fact, when I was living in Sicily in 2002 and 2004, my job was being military police. So my work days were spent on base in a patrol car doing police activities. But on my off time, you would find me going to the Lotto Ricambi, which is Italian for the auto exchange. And that's basically a junkyard. I had a Japanese spec Honda Prelude, and right-hand drive, everything like that. Japanese spec Prelude, I was trying to make it to base one time. It was a 10-minute drive. I had it down to about 7 minutes and 30 seconds, and I actually crashed that car. So I was forced to basically get into my knowledge of the Hondas. I got a Honda Civic from a girl on base, and this thing was purple. It was so domesticated, it had baby puke in the back seats. But that didn't bother me too much because I knew I was stripping the seats out. I basically went to the junkyard. I got an Acura Integra engine out of it. I went down to a street speaking with the Italian owner who didn't speak any English. He let me borrow his hoist for a weekend. I put an Integra engine in the Civic, and I ended up taking that car back to the United States with me through customs with my household goods, when I came back from Sicily. So I had that car here. I still have that engine today. I have gotten rid of the car. One of the reasons why the business is called Just Integrate Garage is I was integrating the name of the Integra, which I have four Integras. I have six engines for Integras. Probably if you were to ask me what engine I am most familiar with building, tearing down, rebuilding, it would be the B series engine, the B18 series of engines more specifically. We can make them 2 liters, 2.3 liters, and then the 1.6 that's available from the factory. But 1.8 is what I have a lot of. A lot of that stuff. So after being a mechanic for 15 years, I then went to Cliff Ebbins' prior employer called Motion. And there we worked on Ferraris, more exotic cars. We were rebuilding some, basically restoring old 1960s Ferraris. They have new cars too that they work on in maintenance, but I was being tasked with a fabricator job and also machining. So while I've been working as a mechanic, an automotive technician, I was working next to a guy who had 30 years of experience, and he was saying, you know, there's no future in being an automotive technician. There's not a lot of money here. You should go and be a machinist. So I took his advice and I went to the tech to get my machine tool technician certificate. Now that I'm a machinist and I do 50, 60 hours of work as a machinist on a weekly basis, I find myself desiring to work on cars more than I did when I was working on cars every day. So people knowing this would bring me their brake jobs, bring me their, oil changes. Hey, I hear this noise. Justin, you want to go for a drive with me and find out what this is? Or in the middle of winter, a guy, something as simple as a buddy calls me up and says his hands are freezing because he can't change this light bulb. It should be super simple. So I have a heated garage and I just invite him in. You know, we chat for a little bit. I pop the hood and the light bulb goes in for me, easy as cake. So he says, how much do I owe you? Well, you're a friend. You don't owe me anything. It only took me 2 minutes, but it got the gears turning in my head. Some of the jobs that I've done in the past have been more involved, have taken all weekend. I decided that starting a legitimate LLC for working on people's cars and other things, as I'll allude to. I mean, I'm not going to limit myself to just working on Hondas. And that's one reason why the name of the garage has changed from Justin's Integra Garage to Just Integrate Garage. I do plan on working on Subarus. I just did a grill install on a Ford F-150. I can work on multiple different vehicles as well as bicycles, anything that needs to be fixed. But now, instead of just doing that stuff for free out of the kindness of my heart, now I can say, hey, this is something that's going to take up my time. I'm going to need to charge you for that. So I've also done a lift kit on a Jeep Wrangler. We did a 3-inch Fox suspension lift kit probably 2 summers ago, which that was a lot of fun too. Like, this is all stuff that I'm kind of doing for fun. But sometimes it's, you know, simply because I need to get, you know, somebody's vehicle back on the road, and I feel like I'm helping people out. But I feel with my low overhead and the knowledge base that I have, I can do it for relatively inexpensive for people, you know, family and friends for the most part. So that's really all I've got. If you've got any more questions, send them.
All right. Thanks, Justin, for the little presentation there. I'll kick her off with a question for you. So when you submitted this, you alluded to something with YouTube too. Is that something you're still doing? And if so, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I've been, part of the thing with not having people's cars in front of me, let's say they call me up, this guy Elvis rings a bell to me. He's got a Mercedes, not a super exotic car, but I don't have a whole lot of, I can't imagine what the engine bay looks like, for example. And what I've been doing before his car even shows up in my driveway is I'm looking it up. I'm Googling it and looking up the job on YouTube, see if anybody else has done it. if nobody else has done it, I can at least get a look at that engine bay and start seeing where things are at. So when he finally does show up, I can pop the hood and be like, okay, this is the same engine that I saw in that YouTube video. I think, you know, and I'm sitting there sometimes kind of dorky, pausing the video, pausing the YouTube video, looking where hoses go and looking at where I think he might have a problem before his vehicle even shows up. And that has worked. And so because I've been using YouTube as a resource like that, I don't feel it would hurt anybody if I started doing that myself. I've got some things, and right now I've got a Toyota Tacoma. These are kind of more fun things, but somebody wants to see what these puddle lights look like mounted on your mirror, how to route the wires that go in there. So I feel like if I did a video on what I consider the right way to wire these things, I can help other people in the same situation. I don't know. I'm not thinking that I'll have a ton of subscribers, but who knows? I've talked to people in the YouTube community that have said, believe it or not, they started, you know, just recording with their cell phone, and all of a sudden they have enough followers to be monetized and stuff like that. So I'm not looking for that as a source of income necessarily. If it comes to that, that'd be great. What would even be better is if maybe some of the manufacturers of the parts that I put on started sending me to install on people's cars. Hey, that'd be great too. I'm not looking for that, but that would be an added bonus. But really what I'm intending doing is, show people what works. Actually, if I make a mistake, show them mistakes, show them the mistakes that I made and say, hey, save yourself 15 minutes and don't route the wire this way. Because I'm not going to say I don't make mistakes, but if I can save somebody else the hassle of, running a wire, wiring something backwards, something along those lines, hey, I'm just there to help,
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else out there want to ask a question?
I'm looking at Mike.
Yeah. I apologize. I got on a little late too. And so maybe you covered this, but what are you doing to drive business, Justin, your way? And how do you, you're trying to scale, or is it just
I don't want a ton of customers. I've got my hands full. So I alluded to having my regular job as a machinist right now. Anyways, that's 50 or 60 hours of work that I do that. That's paying the bills. That's covering everything. I don't want to get into advertising because the people that know me personally, it's basically all friends and family. Sometimes it's a friend of my brother's that, hey, my buddy Pete, he's got my brother's asking me if I can work on his buddy's car, stuff like that. So I did break it down. If there's 52 weeks in a year, that's 52 weekends that I would be tying up, let's say 50, so I can have 2 weekends to myself, 50 weekends in a year that I would have to work on people's stuff. That's not a whole lot of customers. And if I want to get, my vehicles serviced, my mom's vehicle serviced, my dad's, my brother's Honda Civic, my older brother's Acura TSX, it starts adding up. And I'm in no position. The more people that I drove towards myself, the more people I would have to tell them to go to Ray's Transmission, for example, which isn't bad. I'll do that. In fact, I just did that for a Toyota Highlander came in, a noise in the background, a noise in the back, left wheel. I basically told her, well, it could be a wheel bearing, it could be the rear differential, but I haven't done any other work on her vehicle. And if it were the rear differential, that would be a bigger project that would take me all weekend. I just told her to try Ray's Transmission because they're the people that I trusted. When I was working at Randy's Auto Service, we would send, even Randy would subcontract that stuff out to Ray's anyways. So I'm just telling her to go straight to, Ray's Transmission, where it would end up if she were to go to a shop like JJ's Auto Clinic down the street too. you know, so I kind of know that's another benefit of working in that industry for the last 15 years. The guys at AutoZone, the guys at Napa, I know all those guys pretty much on a first name basis. They know me. They know my skill level. They know, okay, Justin, do you remember how to do these? Yes, I do. You know, so those are the guys who I'm setting up the business accounts with. And that's where I'll get parts last minute. I have found a way to get less expensive parts from Rock Auto, but then I need to know about the job in advance, which a lot of times I do. When it's something that's just coming up that I can plan for, I can buy the parts from Rock Auto at a greater discount than I can at these local places. And then I would mark them up to what they are at these local places. So it's not out of the ballpark how much I'm charging for them. I'm just making a couple extra bucks more, you know, for planning in advance. And then writing the repair orders, everything like that. I do have a certificate from Fox Valley Tech for automotive service consulting and automotive service management. Those are classes I took 10 years ago. Never worked at a dealership and used those certificates, but I think they do qualify me for making suggestions to people about the maintenance of their vehicles. So, I mean,
okay.
I'm curious, Justin, just because I see your experience being similar to when I started my business, where I never really even thought about it as ever being a full-time thing. It was just always a hobby. And yep. Then one day I hit a breaking point where I had to make that decision. Do you have any interest in if 5 years down the road from this, you realize, man, I could be doing better if I just did focus completely on car repair as opposed to being a machinist? Do you have any interest in possibly making this a full-time thing, or is your head I want to keep this my hobby?
Yeah, I do want to keep it my hobby. But at the same time, that's not an outrageous thing to think about. And of course I did think about that. What I kind of envision it as being is kind of a retirement thing. If that sounds crazy, because I mean, I feel like I'm in a generation that isn't going to have much for retirement. So when you say 5 years from now, if I get my house paid off, which is doable, if I get my house paid off, if I get, you know, my vehicles will be paid off and I won't really have any debt, and I just need to make the monthly like food. Yeah. It's unpredictable. So the job that I have right now is we have orders making parts for companies that are consistent. I have a consistent paycheck. I can't tell you that's another thing. If I'm working on people's cars and all their cars are running great, I'm doing a good job, but I don't have any work. So if I've got everybody's cars running great for a span of 6 months and they're only coming to me for oil changes, and you know, nobody wants to pay big bucks for oil changes these days. Everybody wants to do it for 20 bucks. Well, I'm not going to have enough to pay for food. So no, I'm not looking at it as a sole source of income. And my capabilities here in my garage, I don't even have a full vehicle lift. All I can do is jack things up on jack stands. I don't have a full vehicle lift. I don't have the capabilities to make it, a sole source of income for me. If that day comes, let's say I win the lottery. Hey, if I could move to a bigger place with the pole shed, a little bit further out in the country, then I would take you up on it, but I'm not going to count on winning the lottery. So it is really just a hobby LLC. And, you know, I've talked to people, my sister-in-law, she does those essential oils, stuff like that, things, buying and selling soap and essential oils. So that's one of her hobbies, and she's got an LLC with it too. I kind of feel like I might be making more money than she is just making essential oils, but I don't know. I've never seen her financials, but I do think it's something that in the past I've been doing these jobs and I don't know what to charge people. I make them pay for the parts, but at the same time, I didn't mark the parts up. So this is a way that instead of having people just say, hey, pat on the back, I'll buy you dinner, I can say, no, I need a check made out to my LLC so that I can pay for the tools that I bought, you know, to do this job. That's one of the biggest expenses is the tools. I already made that investment, but the tools aren't going to make me any money if they're just in my garage not working on anything. So it's one of those things where I look at what I have and make use of what I have already. And I enjoy it. And I think I can help. There's a certain thing about what I'm doing right now as a machinist. I'm on a Haas VF5. I don't know if you're familiar with CNC machines, but it's a robot. I'm just telling a robot how to make a part out of metal. And let's say I make 50 of these parts and me and my machine do a really good job for the day. There's nobody said, oh, Justin, you saved the day today. You know, oh, you got my car back on the road. That's one thing that's intangible that I miss from working on people's cars is, the soccer mom just needed to have her brakes fixed before school got out at 3 o'clock so she could get the kids because her husband's gone on vacation. She doesn't know what to do. When I would fix that lady's car before school got out, she'd be like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for squeezing me in. Thank you for getting that done. And I got that's an intangible asset to me. That makes me feel good for the work that I did. So me doing that for friends and family, and they know it. I think they take advantage of that sometimes. My friends and family, they know that I like to fix things to get the pat on the back. But that's why another reason why I need to make sure that I'm not being taken advantage of and make sure that there's a financial backing to the stuff that I'm doing, especially if, you know, I'm taking up my weekends. Some people like to go fishing. You know, I don't necessarily like to go fishing, but maybe I would if I had more time. So,
well, all I can tell you is just be aware and really think about it, because one day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize, oh, this isn't a hobby anymore. Because sure. This is just something that naturally, even if you never do a piece of marketing, just the word of mouth marketing over a span of 7 years, you're going to realize, wow, I have a lot of clients all of a sudden.
Yes. So. And that's one of the reasons why this class was beneficial to me, because it laid the foundation. I have all the tools. Books. I have all the tools. Amy Peach gave me a lot of the tools that I need in case I need to scale up, in case, like you said, 5-7 years from now, and I can look at the financials coming in and the jobs, if they're stacking up, I can say, you know what, maybe I'll work as a machinist part-time. I don't want to really give up my job as a machinist because I have the capabilities on that machine to make parts too. So sometimes it gets, and I have the, working at that job, I have the access to some of the machines that I might need for pressing bearings in. I have access to distributors, tool distributors, discounts on tools and stuff like that. So I could see it slowly morphing from, well, Justin's no longer working 50 hours a week. Maybe I'd be working, 25 hours a week as a machinist. And then doing... in particular, I foresee on these Integras too, they were so popular 20 years ago, and I believe such a good car. I'll relate it to how my dad was. My dad had a 55 Chevy, and my dad told me a story about how he wishes that he would have never sold his 55 Chevy, back in the 70s. He said, I wish I would have just... because he only sold it for $50, right? Mm-hmm. He wishes he would have just stored it in grandpa's barn for the next 20 or 30 years because it would have been worth more. I foresee a time when the cars that I fell in love with, these Integras, people will be sought after. even right now, we're seeing a price increase on the Integra Type R, which I don't have any Integra Type Rs, but it's highly sought after. One of those that sold in, 2000 is now selling for three times the price that it was bought for in 2000. So I don't see any of my cars being like that, but I do see a time when parts won't be available for these cars from any manufacturer. And it would be nice if I have the CNC program that I wrote at work one day to remake a part that is no longer in production. Then I can charge whatever I want for that part. I made it. I wrote the program. But I'd have my original parts that I could take measurements off of, draw up a blueprint. I could even send that CNC program to across the country, to a guy in California that has a CNC machine, and he could make it there himself too. So things are different from when my dad had his 55 Chevy, but I took some things that what he said. And I do see guys my age, maybe slightly older than me, that are, they're looking, they got rid of their rice burners that they used to have 20 years ago. But now they're like, I can afford that again. I have the family, the kids have moved out. Or for example, some guys want to buy their 16, 17, 18 year old daughter the Integra that they had when they were a youngster too. And then like, those were good, reliable cars. And I remember when I was on the Coronado Navy base in San Diego, California, circa 2000, they were so easy to work on. Prior to that, I had a Dodge Shadow, and I was working at Bergstrom Chevrolet as a detail technician. So I was exposed to a lot of Chevrolets and a lot of Chryslers, Dodge, Jeeps early on. And I did, I'm just starting out. I was 18 years old and I was working on those kinds of cars. And when I got to the Hondas and Toyotas, I was like, somebody somewhere, some Japanese engineer knew that I was going to have to change this part and made it accessible. Whereas the Chrysler and the Chevy and the Ford engineers were like, oh, we're going to slap this big part that you have to take out first in front of this. And I was like, no, I was working on my Honda in the parking lot of the Navy base in Coronado, California. And I was thanking them for being considerate of the guy who had to work on it. So from there, that's where my passion for Hondas actually started.
Anybody else have any questions?
There's some in the chats. Let me just take a peek here.
Yeah, I think Amy brought up a great point in the chat where you're talking about how you made that car part. And that would be an amazing business idea, is if you can just write a program for your machine that creates parts for cars that are hard to find.
Sure. And that's what Motion Products was having me do for the Ferraris. Now those are 1960s cars, and a very, very exotic. And a lot of times Ferrari doesn't support any of their old cars whatsoever. So that's what Cliff Eben did as well. So I'm not unfamiliar with reproducing a part that is no longer in production for a car. And a lot of times we'll have the broken part, which is great. That's the best case scenario. You have, the forging where it broke. You got the metal that it was made out of. So you can say, it's carbon. It's got this coating on it, thread pitches. So you can use the same bolts. But one of the focuses for working on those Ferraris, those were the concourse cars. Those were show cars, and they got points for having, if somebody who's inspecting that car at the car show and they're going to win an award, you have to make sure that if it's not an original part, it looks exactly like an original part. So that inspector, when he sees it, he glances over it and says, oh, it looks original. You can't tell the difference between an original, but some parts you can't, they just rusted, they corroded so bad. I've even been given pictures, and this is like my nightmare, is when I'm given a picture that was taken in the 1980s that's all grainy and not even a dollar bill in the picture to give me scale. It's just a picture of under the dash of some mechanical device. And they're like, Justin, can you make this? I don't even know how big that is. Like, I can take guesses, and that's exactly what I did. You take measurements. That takes a lot of time, and it's not, I mean, for them, they were working on $5 million cars. On a smaller scale, doing it here, I would definitely, but yes, that is something that I wouldn't say no to. But I would gauge that on how involved it might be. So,
Well, and it comes down to figuring out the parts that you will be able to sell over and over and over again. You know, yeah. Designing a part for one car one time, you're right, yeah, takes a ton of work, is not worth it. But if you design this one part that you know you'll be able to sell 1,000 times,
yep,
that's a
and that's the thing too. I've got an eye on the Toyota Tacoma right now is the most popular pickup truck that's out there. I am keeping an eye on my Toyota Tacoma that's being operated in the Salt Belt to see where the rust starts. One thing that bothers me on a lot of these Honda Civics, a lot of these Acura Integras, if you look along the rear wheels, the manufacturer put in a rubber seal that actually traps the road salt, gravel, and then that turns into sandpaper, and that's why they always corrode there. Had I known that 20 years ago, I could have saved a lot of these bodies on these cars. But now that's a lesson learned through time. So now I'm keeping an eye out on where did the Chevy pickup trucks rust. These are all things that if I can prevent somebody's truck from rusting by doing something, maybe charging them for that knowledge now saves them having a body repair being performed 10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've got an eye out for these things just as a natural way of how I look at cars. From the time I was 16, I was looking at when I got my first cell phone, I was putting people's names in by what car they drove, not what their names were. It's what I've been doing for such a long time. It just makes sense for me to, you know, keep doing what I'm doing, but turn it into a small business.
Very cool. All right. One more call out to anybody for questions.
Real quick. How long ago did you say you worked at Motion Products?
That would be 2017.
Okay. Yeah. Just because my dad just retired last year from there. He was on the accounting side. So you probably didn't know him. I just out of curiosity.
Sure.
At the same time.
Yeah. There was another guy, Tommy Wheeler, that was a CNC machinist there as well. Okay. If you mention to him Cliff Eben, he'll say yes. Cliff Eben was the employee of the month every month until they stopped doing employee of the month because Cliff Eben kept winning it.
Really? That's yeah. Awesome. Y'all have to mention to my dad.
But that's when cool. when Cliff Eben left, I was still at Randy's and they were rather desperate for a new fabricator, somebody that could live up to Cliff Eben's status. And so they knew that I worked with him, you know, with the limited late model, with the race cars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they knew that I was going to the tech for machine tool. Right. So they were like, well, Justin, if you could come work for us, that'd be great. I did those couple of cars for those shows. And they're like, no, we already have Tom Wheeler as our machinist. A number of those people have started their own businesses. Forget his name, but the female that was doing upholstery there, she started her own business. So she subcontracts. Emotion still has her do a lot of their upholstery. They just subcontract it to her small business now. There's another guy that was a fabricator. He's got his own business now too. So it's not uncommon for, and that started out as a small business. Motion Products is of those companies that started out, you know, it, from what I understand, Wayne was just painting aircraft. And because he knew how to paint aluminum and the bodies of the cars were aluminum, he said, yeah, I'll do it. And he started it in a garage, you know.
Yeah. And the stuff that comes out of there is crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's cool. I just, when you said that, I was just like, wow, I know it. So,
yeah, it's kind of mind blowing that a place like that is, you know, in Neenah.
Yeah, totally. All right. So one more call for questions. And if not, we'll ask you the final question of 1 million cups, which is, I don't think there's any other questions. So what, how can the community help you, Justin?
That's one of the reasons I don't really need any help.
I'm already texting people saying, hey, I got this guy that can fix your car. He's looking for lots and lots of clients.
Yeah, just start rolling them in. No, I don't need any help necessarily. I really, to be honest, Amy said, because I wasn't going to contact 1 million cups. And I asked Amy, I said, is that required for this class? And she said, yes, it is required. And I'm like, well, then I'm going to do it because it's a requirement for the class. So I took the class kind of to get my ducks in a row, to get the paperwork for the LLC started, and to kind of set my sights on the financials and the tax paperwork that I needed to get rolling. So the 1 million cups thing was, I only signed up for it because it was a class requirement. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to share with you guys what I'm doing, but I didn't have anything to ask for. I know some people need money, but I have, like I said, I have all the tools that I have that I already had, collecting dust in my garage if I'm not using them. So I'm just using the tools that I do have. And my uncle is, CPA. So he did my taxes last year. I installed solar panels on my house. So I got the 26% return on that investment from doing the solar panels last year. And while I was in there, I had mentioned to him that I had plans to start an LLC. And he said, yeah, that's great. And he said he could do my taxes for me when I get the ball rolling for that. So I have my accountant set up. I don't need any additional finances or anything like that.
Cool. All right. Well, then I think we'll wrap this session of 1 million cups up. We do have a presenter for next week. So tune in for that. And thanks a lot, Justin, for coming on and presenting. And we will see everybody next week.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker, and thank you for your continued support of 1 million cups and our community of entrepreneurs.